So that is for us too. We should be inviting people to church or to our music event. Come and see what God is doing, right? And we should do it with that kind of enthusiasm. And 18 people came so they could come and see, and that's lovely. So let's make sure that we're doing that. So on Father's Day, I gave a message entitled Abba, Father. And I said that when Jesus introduced this concept of addressing God as Papa to the Jewish people of that day, that was a radical idea. And I commented on that I love how Jesus can push our boundaries a bit. Now, Jesus doesn't love radically to make a scene or anything else other than he is trying to teach us that sometimes our ways are not his ways. And he wants to teach us all of these good things that he has for us. And so when I say radical today, I don't mean disrespectful or irreverent or just trying to get attention. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that Jesus can push us to go farther and to go deeper with him. Jesus wants his followers to care for one another in the deepest sense. Love ought to be the hallmark of Christian life. Jesus demonstrates the greatest love of all, and he had so many lessons to teach us while he was on earth. And our beloved Messiah, he took on all of our shame on his shoulders. He suffered the torture. He hung on the cross for our sins. He overcame death for us. So when Jesus talks about radical love, he is the expert of love. We need to know who Jesus is and what he preached. And so we've been talking about that the Old Testament tells us that Jesus is coming as a Messiah, either by direct prophecy or in stories. Many of the prophecies are found in Isaiah, like the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Isn't that a beautiful prophecy? God came to be with us. And then we're looking at stories that are telling us about Jesus. So we studied about the book of Ruth and how that is a foreshadow of what Jesus is going to do. He's going to be our kinsman redeemer. And before you say, yes, yes, we know all of this, we've been through this, we know, I just want to point out that people throughout history have missed him. There's all these prophecies, and Jesus came, and people still miss who he is. In Judaism, Jesus is sometimes seen as a false teacher or just a historical figure. The Muslims believe that he was a prophet who performed miracles, that he preached submission to God, yes, but they firmly reject the concepts of his divinity, his crucifixion, and his place in the Trinity. And when we accept Jesus as Christians, we have to accept all of Jesus. We have to accept that he was sent into this world fully God and fully man. He was sent to teach us so many things. He is our Messiah, sent to rescue us from our sins and restore a relationship with God. And he is part of the Trinity. And that Trinity cannot be broken apart. We can't choose what we're going to believe in and what we're not. We take the whole thing. And just as some religions acknowledge that Jesus existed and missed that he was the Messiah, we cannot accept Jesus and not fully know him. That is why we study the Word. We pray. We keep on seeking to know him better. We keep seeking until Jesus meets us in the clouds and that trumpet is blown. It's a lifelong thing. Sandra and I talk about that. No matter how much we study, we still keep seeking more of Jesus. And today we are particularly going to look at Jesus' attitude towards love. And I just said how Jesus is the expert on love. And that radical love of Jesus, it is defined by total self-sacrifice, universal inclusion, and unconditional forgiveness. It demands the seemingly impossible. Loving one's enemies, allowing God to do the judgment, to serve the marginalized without expecting anything in return. I mean, just like Bert and Chris were talking about, they served those who were hungry. They didn't expect anything in return. So I'm just going to give you a few scriptures, and so we get into the attitude of what this love looks like. Luke 6:27 says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. John 13:34, love one another as I have loved you. Luke 23:34, and remember that Jesus is hanging on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Jesus was radical. He broke some rigid social, religious, and political barriers. He dined with outcasts, welcomed women, and elevated the marginalized. Through the parable of the Good Samaritan, he taught that neighbors include everyone, especially those that are considered cultural or religious enemies. And I realized when I was writing this, something about myself. Some people, some Christians that I look up to, Christians throughout history, that we can know their story. The ones that I particularly like are the ones that learned to love radically like Jesus. So one of my favorites is Corrie Ten Boom. She and her sister learned to praise God for lice, and later they forgave their captors. You see, Corrie rescued Jews during World War II. And she was just an elderly lady like me. And she was rescuing Jews. And she gets captured, and she's put into a concentration camp. And when she learned to forgive her captors, this gave her a freedom through Christ that was unbelievable. And after the war, she went out and she preached all about Jesus's love and the power of forgiveness. And her life story means so much to me. She is now passed on, but I know she's with Jesus today. She loved Jesus so much. Now, we could say we know Jesus's love, but we need to be on guard as well. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Our modern society is constantly, slightly twisting what Jesus taught. There's some truth, but it's twisted. So it's twisted with personal desires or personal agendas. And we marry the truth and all of this other stuff, and we think that's what Jesus wants. And this twisting can be done with so many, many different social topics. So a quick example that just came to my mind, and you can agree with it or not, but I'm going to say it. A quick example is Jesus is love. He loves everyone. So therefore, he is pro-LGBTQ movement. Now there is partial truth in this, and there's partial manipulation. Do you see what I'm saying? And I warn you that the next example I'm going to say is going to make you feel uncomfortable. But before you fire me, let me say that it's perfectly fine to spend some time with your Bible and with Jesus and figure out why things make you uncomfortable. Okay? And I'm not talking about politics. I'm just saying that sometimes things happen in our society that make us feel uncomfortable. And it's okay to say, okay, Jesus, show me in your word. Tell me what I should be thinking about this. I love America. I really do. I am grateful to be here. I choose to be here. I am grateful that people from all over the world came into our great country and they have made it what it is today. I love that. But I cannot quite reconcile in my heart what Jesus taught us in the Bible about foreigners and strangers, and then what's happening with the treatment of some people with ICE. Okay, I said it. It's something I'm wrestling with. I don't even have a complete opinion about it yet. It's something I am talking to God about. Now, society is going to say it's dangerous to have unprotected borders and we can't have Sharia law, and I 100% agree with that. I am not arguing that point at all. I 100% agree. But my heart ponders, shouldn't justice be found by a fair due process? And again, that's just something that stirs in my heart. It's not something that I'm arguing with someone about. And so I turn to my Bible and I look for answers. And in Matthew 25:34, this is Jesus talking. And he said, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you something to drink? When did you see a stranger and invite you in? Or when did we see a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Now to me, this is some radical love that Jesus is talking about. And I do go back to the story of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus is quite clear about taking care of the stranger. And then I also recognize that somewhere in this equation is my own experiences. My own experiences give me some thoughts about how I deal with a social situation. And I've been to 23 different countries. And I was the stranger in all of those except for one. And so maybe it affects me more in my heart. And like I said, I'm still wrestling with this. And I have no desire to get into politics. But we should all make sure that the Bible and Jesus' teachings are held in the highest regard. We live in a time where it is easy to become manipulated and distracted from the actual teachings of Jesus. God gives us wisdom and discernment and love. And every one of us should be praying about things that make us uncomfortable. And remember that Jesus also made people uncomfortable while he was here on earth. He made people feel uncomfortable. You know, in Matthew 9:10-13, Jesus is eating with the tax collectors. It says, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Your teacher eats with tax collectors and sinners." And on hearing this, this is what Jesus said. "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And wow, that was pretty radical for the time. It was not normal for the rabbi to eat with tax collectors. Many of these tax collectors were dishonest and very unpopular. And when Jesus said to learn what he desires mercy and not sacrifice, he's actually quoting Hosea 6:6. And there it said, "I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know more, or to know me more than I want burnt offerings." And I took that from the New Living Translation because it was a little easier to understand in the New Living. But what that means is that religious ritual is only helpful if it is carried out in an attitude of love and obedience to God. And Jesus is also saying that he is spending time with, quote, quote, unworthy people. And that's exactly what his mission requires, just as a doctor needs to be near sick patients to heal them. And this radical part of Jesus' message is that he is challenging the self-righteous Pharisees, stating that their pride blinds them to their own spiritual flaws. And by contrast, the sinners were humble enough to recognize their mistakes and accept his grace. Are we able to be humble and accept his grace? That's the prayer for myself. My prayer for myself is that my pride and my ideas don't come in the way for me to accept his grace and his mercy, right? And sometimes when we think of love, we think of that sweet grandma who made cookies and always encouraged us. Or we think of someone who gave us cards and flowers. Many times when we think of love, that's what we think of. But Jesus didn't love us like that, did he? Jesus gave his life for us. He challenged us to love like he loves, even when it was difficult or messy. Now, the scripture that's found on the front of your bulletin, 1 Corinthians 13:13, is a scripture that probably most of us can quote. But how many times do we think about it? And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This week, I encourage you to reflect on the radical ways that Jesus loves us. I want you to soak in that beautiful love that he has for us. I also encourage you to allow Jesus to show you how you can love like he does. Allow yourself to seek Jesus' desires for your life and not be manipulated by all of the different things that are going on in the world. And as I wrote this, I realized something that I challenge myself for, and that every sermon I give now, I hope it directs us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Nothing is more important than keeping our eyes on Jesus right now. There are so many things that can distract us. But this is an important time to live in his grace and to cling to him, closer and closer to him, right? Let's pray.